For some, the sea is not a place. It is a calling, a home away from home. If you find yourself drawn to the water, we can take you there. Imagine you, your friends, and family on a private yacht in the most beautiful places in the world, from the Bahamas or the Virgin Islands to Greece, Italy, Tahiti, and beyond. This is a yacht charter vacation with The Moorings, and it's easier than you think. Inquire today. Your next great vacation begins at moorings.com.
Make the right call for the right Medicare Advantage benefits. Go to MedMutual.com/review to schedule your free Medicare plan review with Medical Mutual, Ohio's hometown Medicare insurer.
Hey guys, welcome to this very fun episode of TFL Talking Trucks.
Yes.
And I've got the greatest, the best, the most knowledgeable truck person in America, Andre, the managing editor of TFL Truck, sitting next to me, and we're going to be talking about the future of trucks because Ford just dropped some crazy-ass news, Andre.
Roman, you've been very complimentary of me on the last couple of episodes. What's going on, dude?
Well, I think you should be on Actoid, North American Truck of the Year jury. I'm lobbying for you. Those guys are picking trucks that represent the best trucks of the year, and yet the one person who knows trucks is not on the jury. What is up with that, Nactoid?
That's a good question.
Sophian.
I appreciate your...
I'm calling people out.
Why are you calling people out?
Because it's fun.
Okay. I appreciate this, Roman, and thank you for the compliments. I really appreciate it. But, dude, I would say that Ford, well, just a few days ago, they dropped some seismic news because they announced basically, I mean, not super specifically, but they announced up to about 4 years or 3 years into the future, what they will be doing with trucks.
Yeah, and for a long time, you know, the future of Ford was electrified, and then all of a sudden things changed.
Well, yeah, so they made huge changes, right, several years ago. They created a separate division of their company called Model E that was meant for specifically, you know, growing their electric vehicle business. They asked dealers to become electric dealers, right? But now they have since walked some of that or a lot of that back.
Yeah, in fact, I think they're turning that EV plant where they're going to build the three-row competitor EV into a Super Duty plant.
Yes. So on this podcast, dude, I dug deep into this. So we have a story on TFLTruck.com. But how about we go like point for point and discuss what they're doing, but also how it fits into the bigger picture, right? Because how does GM going to respond to this? What about Stellantis? And, you know, what are they doing?
Yeah, let's do that. But before we get to that, let's talk about electric vehicles because they're always on everybody's mind, whether you hate them or love them. But I would say, Andre, I was thinking about this weekend. I would say that electric cars in general are not doing all that well. But electric trucks are killing it, my man. They're just killing it. The problem, of course, is the price.
Yeah, that's a huge problem.
But as a convenience of working machine or, you know, round town, they're doing super well. So I would say the best F-150 right now, people are going to already kill me in the comments, is a Lightning. I just love Lightning. I mean, it doesn't have enough range for towing.
Right. And we've owned one.
We've owned one.
So we know this very personally.
But as an F-150, it's got the best ride. It's certainly the
best acceleration, you would say.
Yeah. It's certainly the most comfortable because it's so quiet. It's certainly the most fuel efficient. You know, a lot of people are now figuring out that you can have Eco or Boost with everybody going to turbochargers. Yeah. And the issue with Toyota doing hybrids is that unless it's a truck, it is fuel efficient, but their trucks are no more fuel efficient, at least not the hybrid ones, than the non-hybrid ones. Or if they are, it's 1 mile per gallon, right?
Right.
So it seems to be working for trucks, this electrification thing. Now, let me make my argument a little bit more thorough manner.
Specific.
Yeah, so I'll give you examples, all right?
Okay.
Hey, podcast listeners and TFL Talk viewers. I wanted to take a minute to talk to you about a quick and simple way to sell your car or truck with the help of our new partner, HiRoad. With HiRoad's online portal, you enter your vehicle's VIN number or plate, mileage, and zip code, and you'll get competing offers from several qualified dealers in your area within seconds. You pick the best deal offered and follow through with the dealer to sell your vehicle. No more managing scammy emails from buyers on Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace. No more time wasted on no-show buyers. No bait and switch with a "will you take a check" excuse from sketchy buyers. Now keep in mind, these offers will be for trade-in values of your vehicle. If you want to go through the hassle of getting more for your vehicle, that's up to you. But if you want to sell your vehicle hassle-free and fast, go to tfltruck.com and click Sell Your Truck in the navigation menu. Or click on the High Road ad at the bottom of the website if you're on mobile, or click on the column if you're on a desktop. High Road makes it easy, and we like easy.
What is the longest range truck out there?
Well,
Silverado EV.
Yes.
Right?
Silverado 450 miles.
Yes.
Tesla is coming out with their extended battery thing.
That's just silly. That just fills up your bed.
But
with
currently,
the
Silverado EV and also the Sierra EV that's coming, those are the highest range.
Now, I know they're expensive, but still, compared to most cars that are 300 miles, excluding Lucid, of course, those trucks are, you know, are the kind you could juice up one day and drive all week. And not have to worry about range anxiety.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about kind of the buzz. What's got the most buzz? It's not the ID Buzz. That's a whole different world. But I think Rivian with their R1T has certainly done a really good job in creating buzz around electric vehicles. In fact, you know, if you were to listen to what a lot of people are saying, Rivian and in some ways Lucid are kind of becoming the new Tesla since Mr. Musk has now, you know, dropped his hat into politics and seems to have taken his eye off the ball of Tesla. But the Rivian R1T is winning over converts from people that would normally drive SUVs. I know that they have an SUV. They can also get the SUV. What do you think? What's your call on the R1T?
I just drove the second generation R1s, R1S and R1T. And they're, I mean, I always loved their interiors, very comfortable, very well designed. But now they pushed their technology. They removed a lot of complexity out of their machines, and they're trying to make them more affordable, even though they're not still unaffordable. But they're amazingly fast. They have over 1,000 horsepower in some models, and they have tri-motor, quad-motor, dual-motor systems. They improved their dual-motor trucks and SUVs, and they're trying to bring their prices down. I mean, they're working very hard.
Yeah, and you know, once again, the issue with them is the cost.
Yes.
Because even though
it's still 70, 80, 90 or above.
Here's the thing. This is a bad thing to do sometimes. I'm going to do it anyway. And that is take one example and kind of explode it throughout the whole industry. But my neighbor just bought a Rivian. Mm-hmm. And he used to go through cars, sports cars, like every other.
Like Tic Tacs?
Yeah, like Tic Tacs. And he's had that Rivian now for like 6 months and he just loves it because it serves all of his needs. So I think the Rivian is doing really well. Whether you believe, I'm trying to take the politics out of this, whether you believe, you know, in electric vehicles or not, as a truck, it's a really good truck. And it's also kind of this cool, you know, truck that's kind of a tweener, right? So they kind of explore the area between midsize and full-size truck, and it kind of works. You park it in your garage, unlike most people with an F-150 or Silverado or Ram, and yet at the same time, it's got enough space where the back isn't a penalty box like a lot of the midsize trucks.
Yeah, it's bigger than Tacoma, but smaller than the F-150. And then Lucid, you mentioned Lucid. I was at their introduction of the Gravity SUV, right, when they first showed it to the world. And they actually called out General Motors pretty heavily. So Lucid is, you know, trying to be bullish, and they started building the Gravity SUV already. You know what they said about GM?
What's that?
They said some manufacturers out there are using they have dumb range. Basically, range for electric vehicles that's dumb. And what they meant by that was you just throw batteries at it.
That brings us to the next truck, which is the Hummer EV, which might be what they were referring to. But as just, you know, as a example of American exuberance.
It's great at that.
It's great at that.
Yes.
It's not XL. It's probably triple XL in everything it does.
Yeah, and it still catches attention, right? As soon as you see a Hummer EV truck or SUV go down the road, it catches attention. It's just really wide and in charge.
And basically a convertible.
Yeah, and a convertible.
like the Jeep, you know, Gladiator. So there's one truck that I've left for the end because I think this is the one that's probably the most popular. And it's the least electric of them, but it certainly does fall in that category. And that, of course, is the Maverick, Andre, Maverick. What? Maverick is just.
I thought you were going to say Cybertruck.
Well, no, I was going to. That's. I want to talk about the Cybertruck. Well, I'll talk about the Cybertruck before we get to the Maverick. So, we have owned, you know, every Tesla except for the Model S.
Yes.
Ask me what my favorite Tesla is.
So we've owned a Model X.
Yep.
Two Model 3s.
Yes. At least. Performance and regular.
Yes. We've done
Model Y.
We've never owned the Roadster.
No, no,
original.
No one's ever owned a Roadster.
Yeah. Well, very few people.
Yeah.
And Cybertruck.
At least not the new Roadster.
We have the Model Y and the Cybertruck. So your favorite is the Model Y.
No, my favorite by far is the Cybertruck.
Really?
Yeah, really. Okay. I just think it's a really useful vehicle. And God, there's so much hate that's spewed at the Cybertruck. You know, recently the news has been that it bricked itself in Car and Driver's testing.
Yeah, sure.
You know, there are all these videos of not being able to drive in the snow. Our experience has been the exact opposite of that. It's actually done everything that it has been asked to do. And don't even get me started on Whistling Diesel, you know, destruction porn, pretending like it's some kind of a real truck testing where he, you know, jacks it up and then drops it on a concrete slab and says the back end is breaking off. And now everybody's got their undies in a bundle about whether the Cybertruck actually, you know, is as tough as Elon Musk said. The problem with the Cybertruck, Andre, isn't the truck itself. It's the freaking expectation that Musk set when he introduced it.
Yeah.
I was there for that.
He called it out as the best pickup ever made. And he wasn't just talking about electric vehicles either, right?
No, he was like,
He called out Ford.
Yeah.
He called out everybody else.
So basically, he opened the door to everybody knocking him off that pedestal.
And it's relatively easy to do. I mean, you could talk about range. You could talk about, you know, the bed that's really high. You can't reach into it.
Bulletproofness. Because he promised a lot and he didn't deliver. You're right. It was a classic case of over-promising and under-delivering. 39,000 out the window. You know, best range in class out the window.
Yeah, the extended range battery is still not quite out. And it takes your bed space.
Yeah, bulletproof, not out the window. And you know, off-road capable, sort of, kind of. It just has really kind of bad suspension when you jack it up. It is off-road capable. It does have dual lockers, but it's not a pleasant ride unless you're really, really air down. So kind of out the window. And then even that drag race with the Porsche, right? There are just a lot of people, Jason Fenske, one of our friends, who called him out on it. And so now you have, in my opinion, a very good electric truck that is very easy to live with. And I'll give you examples of that. Most full-size trucks are impossible to park, especially in any kind of a tight parking spot. But I can park this thing at our local Target, which now is so full of cars because of school kids going back that it is almost impossible to get anything outside of a moped in. And yet the Cybertruck, it can find a tiny space and just pull it in because it's so maneuverable. It does have, honest, you know, 270 miles of range, which is about the same as the Lightning and the other ones when you're talking about weather and when you're talking about highway use. So there's nothing horrible about it, nothing outstanding about it, but it's not horrible.
And it's powerful, too.
It's very quick. Yeah. We have actually tractor. We were the first. Everybody else started tractor pulling it, but we were the first to tractor pull it. It did really well.
Ish.
Comparatively.
Yes.
You know, it doesn't.
But it has no power with power. No problem with power.
No power problem with power. It does tow around town. That's the same for everything, even the Silverado EV. So instead of going 100, you may go 200 miles with the Silverado EV. And it's supremely comfortable. And that user interface, right, with your phone or with your life is super easy to use. And you can use it, which is also pretty darn cool, as a backup to power your house if the electricity ever goes out. I mean, you know, it's a pretty darn good, useful tool. Is it a $100,000 tool? No, it's not, Andre. You know,
also the visibility. I have some issues with visibility.
Yeah.
So backwards visibility is limited, although there are cameras to help you. And the front visibility in the Cybertruck is good, but you never see your front corners. So it's a little bit, you know, you have to get used to it.
Yeah, can you cut yourself on it? Yeah, you can cut yourself on it, but you can also cut yourself on a Swiss Army knife. You know, I'm not comparing a car to a Swiss Army knife, but it's not like, you know, if you're relatively careful around it, you're probably not going to hurt yourself. So yes, are there build issues? Yes, but you know what's great out of the box? Very few cars have been great, but as a truck, especially with that tonneau cover, it's just a really useful thing, easy to live with, not expensive to run. And Tesla does have some of the best, I think, infotainment in the biz. I was just driving a Hornet that they brought to us.
Dodge Hornet.
Yeah, and the screen is about the size of my rearview mirror in that thing. Right? I mean, it just looks so, whereas this giant screen in a Tesla. Even my wife, I took my wife and my mom to dinner last night in it. It was easy to get in and out of because with the air suspension, my stepdad's 90 now, so he's not exactly a spring chicken. Mm-hmm. But you could just lower that truck, and it's one of the few vehicles that they can get into relatively easily. Of course, they couldn't figure out how to open the door, but that's a whole different story.
Yeah.
But, you know, they really enjoyed being in the back. It's got complete controls for your ventilation, heated seats back there. It's just a very useful thing because it's electric. It's super easy to maintain. You don't have, there's no, you know, no oil to change, no brakes to change. It's a good ass truck.
It doesn't use much brakes.
I've ranted long enough.
Okay, so
talk to me about Ford.
Why is Ford?
Maverick.
Okay, well, this is a transition.
Okay, go for it, yeah.
Well, Maverick is a very huge success for Ford.
Huge.
Right.
Now that it's four-wheel drive and
a hybrid.
Hybrid.
And it tows a little bit more in a hybrid.
It's just missing two things.
It's missing a plug.
Plug it in. It should be a plug-in because everybody's going to plug-ins now. And it's missing, of course, the fact that you can't get the off-road package.
On the hybrid.
Me and Tommy were like really scratching our heads as to why. And you know what he thought the reason for that was? What? That they would have to retest it if they put like the FX4 package on it or if they did a tremor.
Oh, because you change the tires and you have to go through efficiency testing.
And that's very expensive.
And maybe even some of the safety testing, right?
Yeah.
So maybe it's coming still, right? It may be a year away.
Yeah, maybe.
Or something like that. But
talk about the future of Ford trucks.
If you're saying that electric vehicles as trucks are actually working pretty well, why are people delaying it? Because Ford is apparently rethinking their strategy quite heavily. And so there's a couple of things that I see that in the Ford's announcement. And we can kind of...
Can I answer your question?
Yeah.
So here's my take on why people are rethinking electric vehicles.
First, you mean the manufacturers?
Well, customers, which then force the supply and demand, which then force the manufacturers to
rethink.
So the kind of the conventional wisdom is that it was easy to get that first 10% of people to go electric because they were the early adopters, but now when you're talking about the rest of us that aren't early adopters, it's much harder to get them to switch from conventional internal combustion to electric vehicle. And then, of course, the other part of that equation is, and I think most people agree, is that the electric vehicles are just too expensive when it comes to anything, right? And the average new car price now is $48,000 on electric vehicles. I was reading somewhere $10,000 above that.
Yeah, even with some incentives. Some people may not be able to take advantage of a lot of those incentives because they're tax related or whatnot.
But I have a different take on it, Andre. Here's my take on it, and it's very straightforward. You know, you just said that Ford did a basic new business unit, Model E, to sell vehicles, and then they try to get their dealers on board with that. I think the biggest two reasons why there's been kind of a retrenching of electric vehicles is, number one, there are really no great electric vehicles out there except for trucks. Mercedes, I can go down the list, right?
Let's do it.
Okay, let's do it. Okay, so
how about German manufacturers?
Let's start with the Germans, all right?
Okay.
Mercedes builds a hell of an electric vehicle, too expensive, and my God, they just got the design wrong.
Talking about EQS?
Any of the EQs,
SUV.
Not good looking.
I agree with you.
Yeah, they just...
looks are subjective, looks are personal, but I think a lot of people agree that they don't like, some of the styling. And also expensive.
Exactly.
Every one of those cars is expensive.
Every one of those got hit over the nose with the ugly stick leaving the factory, and I think people were not turned on by them. Now...
Audi. How about Audi?
Audi has a different problem. So they were pretty early on the electric bandwagon with the e-tron, but same issue, too expensive, and worse yet, not enough range. When I first drove that first e-tron, it had barely 235 miles of range, and this is when Tesla was normally getting 300, 350 miles. So already you're at a problem. And then Tesla also kind of stole the crown from Audi as the cool kids on the block. So for a long time, Audi was cutting edge, it was modern, it was chic, it was sleek. It was the brand you wanted if you were, stylish and wanted to express that. And somehow they have become just not staid and stodgy, but just kind of kept with what they were doing.
For some, The sea is not a place. It is a calling, a home away from home. If you find yourself drawn to the water, we can take you there. Imagine you, your friends, and family on a private yacht in the most beautiful places in the world, from the Bahamas or the Virgin Islands to Greece, Italy, Tahiti, and beyond. This is a yacht charter vacation with The Moorings, and it's easier than you think. Inquire today. Your next great vacation begins at moorings.com.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
And
conservative, I would say.
Yeah, almost. Yeah, and almost Tesla with their minimalism just completely leapfrogged them, and somehow they lost the magic.
Except my wife's friend just a year ago, she purchased an e-tron GT. You know, very sleek. It's a sedan that looks like a coupe. She loves it. It's super powerful. She zooms around it everywhere. But she paid like $95,000 for it. It's still out of reach of most people, right? So once again, another problem, unaffordability.
Unaffordability. So I think Audi didn't get it. The only one, well, actually, let's talk about Volkswagen. That's a, my God, that is a, you know, Volkswagen is like always too late to the party. Like everybody's leaving and Volkswagen shows up with an ID Buzz that's going to be $60,000.
Or 70.
With 235 miles of range.
Come on, VW. You can do better.
That VW ID Buzz should have been out, you know, when was it? When it was introduced, like 1997 at this point. I'm not that far off. And we're getting one, so I'm super excited. But, oh, my God, 235 miles of range and $60,000 starting is just a big thing to bite off. And I don't know how much nostalgia is worth. I guess Volkswagen will find out.
Well, we're buying it. Because it's a significant vehicle still, right? And nostalgia is strong.
Yeah, and we think that it'll have buzz, but real buzz. But we'll see for how long. Now the ID4, I think even Volkswagen will admit that it was, you know, kind of a half step
to a great vehicle.
Yeah,
it wasn't a great vehicle. No, it is not.
I would put it in the same category as a Mach-E. You know, certainly different and unique. But nothing that I think inspires lust or love or passion or nostalgia. There's not a part of me that says looks at an ID4 and says, "Wow,
I really want it." Yeah, for the slow charging speeds and the great range
and the missing buttons for the rearview mirror. So not a great first effort. I just came back from test driving the EX90,
which has the same thing, right? They got rid of rear glass buttons.
They did. They copied Volkswagen for some unknown reason. The problem with that guy is three-row SUV, $80,000.
Or up to $100,000.
You can go up to $100,000.
That was mind-boggling when I heard when you got back.
That duck won't fly, dude.
Then EX90. I mean, they've been pushing the Volvos towards premium and luxury.
But
$100,000 for a Volvo?
It's not going to fly.
That's not flying too fast.
And then, of course, you know, sharing the same chassis is the Polestar 3 and 4, which I test drove in Spain recently. Really interesting design, except for the, you know, lack of the rear window, which was odd, but forget about that. Certainly interesting, certainly, you know, cutting edge, certainly very much in the way of Tesla. But once again, late to the party. Late to the party. And Polestar, last time I checked, I believe they only have 20 retail stores in America.
You know, Ford has like almost 4,000 stores.
I know. Yeah, I think even Nissan has like 1,200 dealerships.
You can't really survive with 20 stores.
You can't survive in America with 20 stores. Oh, yeah, that's just, once again, not a problem. That's not going to work. And then, you know, while we're with the American, as far as I know, Stellantis did really well with the 4xEs. But
they are doing
it.
Well. Yeah, plug-in hybrids.
Plug-in hybrids. But that's kind of it. And then Ford had really only two, like I said, the Mach-E and the Lightning, and the Lightning was great, and the Mach-E is just kind of, you know, it's just, once again, it's kind of missing passion in my mind.
And let's finish with GM. We mentioned Silverado and Sierra.
Oh, my God, GM, yeah, with the
Laser
Bolt.
EV.
Here's a good way to get people to buy your car. Sell them a car and tell them they can't park it in their house.
And then fix it, and then discontinue it.
Yeah. No, it'll set your house on fire, so leave it parked outside. We'll fix it for you, but then we're going to get rid of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which they did.
And here's one of the companies that has been successful. Did you know that BMW this last month outsold Tesla in Europe?
Whoa.
So BMW has kind of gotten it right. Everybody's saying Toyota got it right with the hybrids. I'm not sure about that. We'll see.
Well, Toyota is a big mainstream player.
We'll see. Yes. We'll see. You know, don't judge them this year. Judge them 5 years from now. I'm looking at this long term. But yeah, BMW, I love the fact that you can have a 5 Series that looks identical, whether it's electric or gas. Same thing with the 7, same thing with the 4. And then they have the, you know,
iX.
The iX, which is kind of funky looking, but it works. But yeah, I think that BMW has kind of figured it out. And let's face it, BMW was one of the first to be, if not the first, in the range extender.
i3,
yeah.
2014.
You've owned the thing now how many years?
Almost 3 years.
Are you happy with it?
My wife would not let it go. My wife drives the i3 range extender every day to work and back. She loves it. It has 72 miles of range.
You talk about that. I'm going to go turn the air on because we're dying in here. Okay, so talk about the i3 and then I'll talk about the i8.
We also own the i8 and Roman will discuss it in a second. But so i3 came out in 2014. At TFL, we bought it. We got an i3 range extended model. And then I bought it from the company almost 3 years ago. My wife's been using it, and she loves it. She doesn't want to sell it. It satisfies her commute. The car has little range, about 70, 72 miles on a great day, less in the winter. But she's got that two-cylinder generator, little motorcycle engine in the back that helps and provides another 80 miles in a pinch. So overall, great car. The only maintenance that we've done on the i3 has been tires. So the i3 likes to chew its tires, Roman.
Yeah, and they're those little tiny, like wagon wheel tires. Yeah.
Little skinny tires. And I think part of it is because it's got a lot of torque down low. So even though if you're not trying to race, because my wife is not really a racer, but if you're just accelerating, you're putting so much torque down on the ground that you're wearing tires sooner.
Yeah. And then we just bought the i8. One of the very first plug-in hybrids, along with the Volt. GM had it right once again early. And I love that thing because basically you plug it in, and the early ones only got like, I think I got like 18 miles of range. But because of the small battery, it charges quickly. And so I've been running all of my errands in that thing, never having to turn on the gas. Yeah, okay. Electrically, and it's way cool. I mean, it's just a cool-ass car.
It has presence.
Yeah. People just think it's brand new, even though it's 9 years old now. Getting in and out is a challenge, but I figure while I'm still young, Andre, I might as well, use the vehicle while I can. And then that leaves us with...
Well, let's talk about vans.
Yeah, commercial vehicles.
I mean, we've talked about... Well, let's finish with maybe some Japanese and Korean, right?
The Koreans are killing it.
We've mentioned Toyota.
Yeah.
They decided to go all hybrid, and, I mean, they do have an electric vehicle they share with Subaru, but that's not really... a great vehicle at all.
It's like two generations too old.
Yes, Honda also went to hybrids,
and then they borrowed GM's electric vehicle
which
architecture.
Is not a super great decision.
No, it
right
didn't.
Now.
Yeah, Ultium is not exactly proving to be ultimate anything.
Yes. Then Mazda, Subaru. I mean, they're kind of non-players in the electric space.
Yeah,
right
they're
now.
Finally coming out with a plug-in hybrid. And then the Koreans are killing it. Both Kia and Hyundai are really doing well. And quietly, under the surface, a lot of commercial vehicles are
becoming
electric. And here's a benefit, Andre. Did you know gas prices are, at some of the lowest numbers in recent history? And you know why?
Because the demand is falling?
Yeah, because there's less gas cars out there. Yeah. So for all of you, and I'm one of them who loves your Hemis, you got to thank all the people driving electric cars and trucks because
gas price keeps coming down
because they're not, in the market for gas anymore. So I think people sometimes forget about that. But here, before we go to Ford, I'm going to tell you the biggest reason I think that we're seeing a slowdown in electric car sales.
Okay.
And I think people don't talk about this enough.
What is it?
I think people know this inherently, but never kind of consider it. And that is, I think dealers hate electric cars and they are doing everything in their power for the most part. Not everyone. A majority of them are doing everything in their power to slow down the sale of electric cars. You walk into a dealership, and I've been listening to the Car Pro Show, right? This guy from Texas who's been doing this forever.
Sure.
And he's used to be a Ford dealer, and people call him up, and it's happened this weekend. They're like, hey, I'm thinking about a Tesla. And he's like, well, I got to tell you.
A Toyota Corolla would.
Toyota does all these hybrids because the problem with the Tesla is we just don't know about battery life. And I'm just screaming at the podcast. I'm like, dude.
They've been around for 11 years.
No, not 11. 2009. That was the first Roadster, right? That Model S came. I was at the Detroit Auto Show in 2009 when they rolled out the Model S. That is 15 years, Andre, and we know what battery degradation is. And at most, it's 1% a year, which is probably very similar to the horsepower degradation on internal combustion. But all these dealers are like, well, if you have to drive the thing more than 15 miles a day, I'd recommend that you go with this hybrid Toyota because that's going to last. And I'm like, Toyota's in the process of going through some big changes right now. But it seems like the old ways of doing business die hard. And the reason for that, I think, Andre, is because dealers make a lot of their money. And I don't know what percentage of their money on repairs, but I'm sure it's becoming more and more. And the problem is electric cars don't need any maintenance for the most part.
Or a lot of maintenance.
Yeah. And so I'm just listening to this podcast, and he's just, and this is a radio show, and every time somebody thinks about buying an electric car, he's like, well, yeah, I don't know. I don't think they're proven yet. And so I'm thinking to myself, and this is why I love the fact that I have this. I'm sorry if I'm ranting again. We'll get to this in a second. If I gave you a choice of a lawnmower, let's just talk lawnmowers.
Okay.
And I give you a choice. I go, Andre, here's a lawnmower with one moving part. Got a motor, one moving part, basically, and a blade. Or here's an internal combustion lawnmower with, 200 moving parts, whatever that thing has, right? Which, just by guessing, would you say is going to last longer?
I would say one moving part, but can I continue this?
Yes, please.
Parallel?
Yeah.
Dude, I've owned an electric lawnmower for the last 6 years. And I'm so thankful for it.
I love my electric.
Because what happened before was I would stop mowing in October. I would put it away.
The carburetor gets gooped up.
Yeah. When I take it out in May, it will never start again.
No, you sit there for half a day trying to pull it and start it. Carburetor is all crappy.
You're sweaty. Everything is terrible.
If you didn't put gas stabilizer, same thing with the snowblower. If you didn't put gas stabilizer in there, it's not going to start. Electric lawnmower, you take the battery out, plug it in, and away you go. And the great thing is I'm cutting my lawn at 7 in the morning and no one gives a hoot because the thing is so freaking quiet.
Yeah.
Same thing at night. But yet people still keep saying, well, you want that internal combustion. And I don't know how many parts a moving engine has in a car, but it's more than 200. It's probably 2,000 when you think about it.
Yeah. And you would say, okay, mowing your lawn is a limited use case, right? Yeah. And the car is a more extended use case. Yeah, that's completely true. And also the price is a problem, right? When electric lawnmowers came out, 6, 7, 8, 10 years ago.
There was a 50% premium.
Huge premium. Yeah. But now they're becoming almost a parity, right?
Yeah.
They're almost becoming close to what a gasoline lawnmower is.
Anyway, I kind of went to lawnmowers. But look, I know after this rant, I sound like an electric car prophet or apostle. And I'm not. I love my internal combustion engine. I love our Cummins. We just tried to buy a diesel 1991 Land Rover Defender. That's a whole other story. We'll share that with you. But I got in that thing and just fell in love with it. Manual transmission, 4-cylinder TDI. God, it's so charming to drive. That torque is phenomenal. Love that diesel clatter. Love the smell of that diesel when it kind of first comes out. This brings joy to me, Andre. But the reason I'm so ardent, because there's so much BS out there. And it's the journalist in me, the old school journalist, right, who believes in truth and who believes in real facts and not just opinion, that gets me really mad because there's so much, on both sides, there's so much misinformation and misconception. And I just want this to be a level playing field. At the end of the day, people should be able to go into their dealership and pick whatever works for them. and not have BS advice telling them, you know, well, that battery may degrade in 5 years and you're going to have to replace it. And my God, the cost of those batteries. Have you heard any of our viewers who've actually had to ever replace a Tesla battery?
Not personally, no.
You know, I was, Prius has been around for 30 years. I was in Vancouver. I was talking to the taxi cab drivers. They get 250,000 miles out of a Prius battery before they have to exchange it. 250,000 miles.
I did have to replace a battery on an Insight Honda that I
That we bought. Yes, with that smelled like cat piss. That was 1,500.
Yes, there was a small battery. And when I was at that place, you know, the place that swaps batteries on old hybrids, they had a couple of Priuses there. And they swap Prius batteries. Yes, the Prius batteries go bad after 15 years or 20 years. And yes, it costs about $1,000 or $2,000 to replace them.
Yeah. Yeah. So look.
And some people do it.
If you're hauling hay across the country, don't get an electric truck. You know, stay with your favorite breed of Power Stroke.
Stay with your diesel.
Or Duramax, right? Whatever it is. If your job has your cross country tripping, don't get an electric car. The infrastructure is not there yet. But if you have a house and you can install a charger and you're
driving to work.
Every day, you're gonna find life in an electric car, I think, much easier. Give it a try. But anyway, let's go to Ford.
Vans.
Commercial vehicles.
Vans. Vans and trucks and big semis.
Yeah.
So of course there's some several shows like the ACT Expo where it kind of shows and the future of big rigs. And I don't want to talk about big rigs too much. I mean, there's hydrogen fuel cell technologies and some electric, you know, battery powered ones. But we're not quite there, right? There's no hydrogen infrastructure yet really in the country. And there is not, you know, electric big rigs long distance don't make sense, right? Local trucks and vans, delivery vans, we're looking at the picture of an e-transit that came out, 2022, so it's already been a couple of years at least that the Ford has been selling.
Ford has been surprised at how well the electric vans are selling.
Yeah.
Medical Mutual wants to remind you it's almost time for Medicare's annual enrollment period. As a trusted health insurer for more than 90 years, Medical Mutual is here to help you find better Medicare benefits. Be confident you're getting the most from your Medicare Advantage plan. Schedule your free Medicare plan review today at medmutual.com/review. Medical Mutual, Ohio's hometown Medicare insurer.
At Nutrafol, we don't just help your hair, we help your body grow it. Because it's never just about your hair. It can be your job or your deodorant or your lunch or just normal life. That's why our whole body approach targets the key root causes of hair thinning. Discover your root causes and why we're the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com. These statements have not been approved by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease paid for by Nutraceutical Wellness, Inc.
They're doing really well.
I think Amazon's also in that same boat with the Rivian vans.
Yes. And BrightDrop, which is General Motors company, is selling their vans, but with lesser success. Now, Ram has come out with an electric ProMaster. There's an electric Sprinter. So every company, basically, for commercial vehicles that is big in commercial vehicles.
I'm also seeing a lot of Lightning work trucks.
Yes, like or city trucks.
Or city trucks, yeah.
Utility trucks, yeah. You know, for utilities. And also local businesses use Lightnings.
Yeah, I think when you take the politics out of it and all of a sudden it becomes about money, which is what it, you know, probably should
be.
Which is business, which is what it should be about. All of a sudden, that equation starts to make a lot more sense, where you're not buying something with your heart, but you're buying it with your head.
And speaking about heart versus head, like if you look on paper, when you come up to like a electric ProMaster or a Sprinter van, and you or even a Rivian, you know, Rivian is selling vans outside of Amazon, and you're looking at the $80,000 price tag on some of these vans, my eyes pop out, right? So personally, it would not make sense for me, you know, to buy a van like this or convert it to a camper or whatever. But if you have 20 of them, you know, and you can spread the cost around and also the fueling costs and the maintenance costs and the usability costs, then it could make sense.
Here's another argument that's out there that people make all the time. And I've got a counter argument to that. And they say that our electric infrastructure cannot handle all these electric vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, Andre, as you know, the second largest electric network in America now is not Tesla Supercharger network. It's Amazon's distribution center and their electric
at their warehouses. Yeah.
Somehow didn't bring the grid down. Second largest in the country, outside of like, you know, the
Tesla stations.
No, they're bigger than Tesla.
Okay.
So outside of the regular grid, right, where you're, you know, feeding power to electricity to commercial buildings. Now the biggest commercial, and that is bigger than Tesla, is the Amazon charging network. And yet somehow our grid survived it. Yes, does our grid need upgrading? Hell yeah, of course. It's probably been ancient for too long. But
and also the fragmentation of our utilities, right? Every state and every county has its own utility.
And utilities are these like really weird, like half private, half public entities that just do not seem to work. And don't get me started on Texas.
Yes.
All right.
So Ford comes out and says, you know what? We're going to tell you guys what we're doing for the next 3 years, which is, first of all, rare for a manufacturer to say. Yes, they tried to protect some of the details because they don't want everybody to know every single little bit that they're doing. But they said that the next big thing, because they've seen success with the E-Transit, they're currently number one in electric van sales. They're bigger than Amazon. They're bigger than GM and anybody else, including Mercedes. So they said in 2026, an all-new all-electric commercial van will be built at the Ohio assembly plant. So that's the first piece of news they dropped.
Yeah.
But the other thing is that they're slowing down, right? So let's look at T3. Remember, so 2 years ago or 3 years ago.
Can I just jump to the chase here with the big news?
Yes.
Didn't they convert that new plant that they were going to use to build the three-row
that was
SUV?
In Canada, yes.
No, in Tennessee.
In Ontario?
In the south, in Tennessee. They built this whole new plant.
Blue Oval City.
Yes. And yes. Aren't they going to build Super Duties now there?
I don't think so. Well, let me look.
I think that's where the Super Duty... No. I think they said they're moving it to Canada and they're moving it to that new plant. I think they're doing both now. So for all you Super Duty fans, they're also pumping up the volume on Super Duties.
Yes. I think the plant you're thinking about, they're going to build batteries. They're going to start with batteries.
Okay.
Including hybrids, including a hybrid Super Duty that apparently is coming.
Okay.
Here's what they said about the Super Duty. The next generation F-Series Super Duty pickup will have a range of propulsion options, building on Ford's hybrid truck sales leadership in the F-150 and the Maverick. So they didn't specifically say, hey, stay tuned for a hybrid Super Duty, but they did say that they already have... They've been very successful with hybrids and F-150. They're going to sell 20% at least of all F-150s this year will be hybrids, which is a huge number.
Yeah, let me ask you, what was your experience like with your hybrid? Did it get better fuel economy? Because you had the F-150 hybrid.
I did. Yeah. I bought a 2021.
With the EcoBoost, and you owned it a couple of years.
Yes, I had it for 2 years and about, 22,000 miles or 23,000 miles.
Were you happy with it?
Was super happy.
Was it fuel efficient?
It was only fuel efficient on my commute to work. It was not fuel efficient when I drove to Albuquerque long range road trips. And I think the reason for that is that you're still pushing a big brick through the wind, right? So you're still moving a big truck. It's quite heavy and you're pushing it at 75 miles an hour down the highway.
I think this is true with all hybrids, right? Yes. They're good in the city, but once you get them on the highway, you kind of lose the benefits
of that.
We saw that with the... Land Cruiser, when we drove back from Moab, all of a sudden the fuel economy just plummeted.
Yeah. But around city, I think I was getting up to 26 mpg. You know, stop and go, a little bit of regen. I had power on board. I could power a car, an electric car, a house. We welded with David off of my truck.
You missed that?
I do miss it. I want it back.
You want it back? Okay.
Yeah. I want it back. It was fast. Roman, I don't know if you remember, but like we did, it's a work truck that went 0 to 60 in under 6 seconds. It was quite remarkable. So they're saying electric Super Duty. So I think that big giant Tennessee
electric or electrified.
They said multiple propulsion options and will build on top of their hybrid leadership.
Speaking of range extending, multiple propulsion options. Where the hell is the Ram charger?
Oh boy,
is it charger?
Yes.
Yeah.
So Ram has charger? Promised this.
It's charger, right?
Ram charger.
Yeah. Okay, I got that right.
Ram Charger. Yeah. It's a weird name.
It is.
So here's what Ram promised. Yeah. And I went to their website yesterday, and this is what they said. End of 2024, all electric REV, REV, which is electric truck, okay, not a range extender, coming late 2024. But Roman, this is almost September of 2024. So as far as I know, it's not here yet. You know, we haven't seen a production version. We haven't driven one. And dealerships don't know about it yet.
Apparently, Carlos, the CEO, was going to come to America and kick some butt and take names and sort out the problem.
Carlos, please do that.
No, he was supposed to be here this week or next week or last week. That was the big news.
And then Ram Charger, they promised early 2025 or first half of 2025. We still don't know when it's coming. Mm. So Ram is still not quite there as far as electrified or electric pickup trucks are concerned. So now, T3. This is what I thought was seismic, right? So T3 was supposed to come out next year. This is a project code name. They called it Project T3, which was supposed to be a revolution in pickup trucks. Big deal, because Ford was rethinking a lot of their... And Ford's been doing trucks, as we all know, for decades. You know, if not 100... We have a 1931 Model A truck.
We do. And they had a Model T as well.
And they had a Model T before that. So Ford's been doing pickup trucks and trucks for over 100 years. They know trucks. I mean, it's pretty fair to say that GM, Ford, and Ram, they really know truck customers. They know what people like and what they don't like. So when Ford says we want to do something revolutionary, I tend to believe them. You know, when Elon Musk says, you know, the Cybertruck is going to be the best truck since trucks were invented, I'm more skeptical there. But
it'll go on the moon, Andre.
Or it will Mars. Go on water.
Yeah, or Mars.
Cybertruck will go on water.
Yeah.
So they delayed it, Roman. So initially it was supposed to be shown in 2025, and now they're saying Project T3 will be at the end of 2027. Okay, and we don't have any images of it. The only image I put on our website is a patent drawing that Ford has published on one of their patents with some seats in the back to help, you know, sit people in the bed. So we know very little about it. But what we do know is that they had a Skunk Works team working on this, led by Doug Field, who used to be at Tesla and also Apple. I've never personally met Doug. I don't know if you have.
Yeah, no, I haven't met him. He's got quite the resume.
Yeah,
resume. This felt a little bit to me like, so they had this 100-person Skunk Works team, right?
Yes.
Working on the secret truck.
Actually, more generically, just electric vehicles in general.
And right? Then all of a sudden, like, the numbers for Ford weren't good. What I read...
They're losing money.
...is that they lost $2 billion by killing off the three-row EV that they were going to build. So I kind of feel like a little bit of that is look over here at the Skunk Works and not over here at the bottom line of what the company is actually doing. So I kind of felt like they kind of spraying that out there when you know, times were not good for them from a stock standpoint. And then they said, look over here, here's a new shiny new toy. And don't look over here at what's really happening with, you know, our sales. That kind of felt a little bit like that to me.
Sure, but they already were punished by the market, by the stock market. Uh-huh. You know, like a month ago or so so this is a reaction to that, I would say, right? Definitely a reaction. And so that's huge. So, but we're still, 3 years away? Because this is the end of 2024. By the end of 2027, 3 years away, we will have this T3, which also Jim Farley, the CEO of Ford, said will have like level 3+ autonomy. So not only will you be able to take your hands off the wheel, but also your eyes off the road in this latest T3 project. But that's not all. They also said a midsize electric truck is coming early in 2027. So before the T3 comes out, they said the first affordable vehicle off this new platform built by the Skunk Works or designed by the Skunk Works team will be a mid-sized electric pickup launching in 2027 that is expected to cater to customers who want more for their money, more range, more utility, more usability. This is a quote from Ford.
Nobody wants that, Andre. That's such PR speak.
But what do you think is affordable? They're calling it affordable. So do you think they mean that...
I think $30,000 is affordable.
I think what they mean is whatever you're paying currently or in the future for a mid-size Ranger is going to be the same price for an electric vehicle.
Like the lawnmower. So what, mid-40s?
I would say mid-40s.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, I could see that that would be affordable for some people. So
here's what I'm seeing from this. You know, I'm kind of techie. You know, I used to be a software developer.
Yep.
I worked at Oracle for many years and Sun Microsystems. So this gets me excited, especially seeing, you know, some tech leader like Doug Field, right?
Yeah.
Coming from Tesla.
I think he started Ford, actually. Do you know that? I remember hearing that. Really? I think he started Ford and then eventually, you know,
went to Tesla, went to Apple.
And then I think back to Ford. Ford, yeah.
Good for him. But what's missing, I think, Roman, in recent recalls and problems that GM and even Ford and others have had with electrified vehicles or brand new vehicles, I think what's happening is they have a lot of legacy, right? All these manufacturers, including Ford. And so putting these new software systems on top of many different suppliers have been really, really hard. So what I'm assuming Doug Field is working on is kind of a ground up, right? So they want to control battery production, materials, factories, and also software to control all those pieces so they can make a great vehicle.
Yeah, I mean, that's what the Chinese are doing. You know, I think BYD even.
And some Korean, Kia and Hyundai is doing it to some extent.
Korea is a little easier because I think that's basically a society that's controlled by, you know, a small bunch of families and they own pretty much everything in the country. But the Chinese electric vehicle makers are doing that. They're completely integrated vertically.
Including shipping.
Including their own ships. Now, you know, this retrenching. So let me take another step back. This is no longer a rant. This is just Roman's opinion. I believe in competition, Andre.
Yes.
And I believe that competition makes people better. And so the reason I'm not an evangelist for electric vehicles is I'm an evangelist for technology. And I think that making companies compete for our dollars makes them better. And when you have two or three or four, maybe five now, different established technologies are becoming established, whether those are hybrids, plug-in hybrids, EREVs, that's what Jim Farley is all about.
Yeah.
So EREVs are electric...
Extenders.
Extenders, like the i3, like the i8. Well, yes. No, like the i3, not the i8.
Yeah.
It's plug-in hybrid. And internal combustion, it makes all of it better. So I get really frustrated when people like start arguing against some of these as if, you know, there's only one clear winner. It's great to have choice, and it's great to have competition because that makes the choice that much better. And I think we're living in a really exciting time. And I don't like to frame this, you know, argument as, you know, we were just talking about this. So Tommy did a great video. And I didn't realize this, so I learned something. So this weekend, Tommy went to the drag strip with the Model T, and guess what he raced?
A Model A.
No, him and Case raced a horse.
An actual horse?
He got an actual horse, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so they got the Model T, right? And the Model T was at the dawn of...
A vehicle.
Of internal combustion. And, you know, they pull the Model T up, and then these people who brought the horse, these great people, I guess they're like horse therapy people. It'll be in the video. It's coming up this week. Well, we're time traveling, so by the time you listen to this video,
check it out at oldtfl.com. Oldtfl.com, where all our news is in one place.
Anyway... What happened was, you know, they crank start the Model T, it's ready to go, but the horse, not so much. So first they have to walk the horse down the entire course of the grassy part of the drag strip, right? So the drag strip is an airfield and there's grass on either side to make sure that there are no holes so the horse doesn't...
That's understandable.
Yeah,
break a leg, that's awful.
Right, and then they, you know, have to get the horse out, groom it, get it used to, you know, being outside, get the satellite.
And then the drone takes off.
And we have a drone, and then they have to get the horse used to the drone. So I could see why when the Model T came along, it was such a, you know...
Disruption.
Yeah, such a disruption. Yeah. And as Kay said, how many horses from 1917 can you still ride?
Zero.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think it was obviously a much better choice. I don't think it's that obvious with electric versus internal combustion.
Well, people were slow to adopt Model Ts too.
Yeah, and back then...
A lot of people were really against it.
Yeah, they loved their horses.
Yeah, for many different reasons.
Yeah, and back then, nobody had wandered more than, like, you know, as far as a horse could take them from their house for most of their lives, mm-hmm. which isn't a lot, which is, you know, maybe 5-10 miles.
So,
and then the Model T and, you know, the rest of the cars opened up the country and allowed us to do what's become, you know, synonymous with America, and that's road trips. And maybe that's one of the reasons why people are so against electric vehicles, because the idea
there's not a clear benefit.
Yeah, the idea of the road trip is so ingrained in American culture because that's what the internal combustion engine initially, I think, allowed. I think that was the biggest benefit beyond all the other ones. And so now the hardest part for electric vehicles is actually road tripping. And that, of course, is because the charging network is problematic at best. But does that mean that the electric vehicle doesn't have a place in your garage? You said something interesting to me this week.
What?
We were talking about the new Kia 3.
EV3.
Yeah. And you said that if they can make that car for under $30,000.
Or under, under 35.
Under 35, that you're going to go be one of the first ones to buy it.
Yes.
Why is that?
Because I see it as breaking through this unaffordability barrier, right? Because, like we said, there is no vehicle,
why would you go
under 50 grand, realistically speaking, that's really great, that's electric.
All right, but let me ask you this. Why would you buy that instead of a Toyota Camry, which you can get, which is going to be a hybrid for $35,000? Why would you rather have, is it because you're an early adopter, or is it because your wife, you know, likes electric cars? What is it about that car and that price point that makes you want it?
It's a little bit of both. I've been an early adopter. You know, I was the first with the F-150 hybrid.
Yeah.
And my wife just kind of, it fits her lifestyle. And I think it'll be her car.
Okay.
And also it has four real doors, you know, to have, you know,
the clamshell on the i3 is a pain in the butt.
The little suicide doors clamshell that the i3 has is really limiting. So I got excited because affordability is a big piece. I've driven many, many Kias and Hyundais, and I can see, you know, I like their style. I like the way they do things. So I think I would be one of the first to jump into an EV3.
Yeah, and my wife, you know, just went electric. And the main reason she gave me was, well, first, when we test drove it, she liked the acceleration. So she bought an iX. And the second thing she liked about it is that she never had to go to the gas station. And I can see that. I think the gas station experience for women and men is very different. And I think men tend to take that for granted, right? I get kind of sketched out if I have to go to a gas station at night. But for my wife, it's just not something that she ever wants to.
And also, if you're in the weird part of town, you know, everything changes, right?
Yeah, exactly. But her biggest,
it's huge.
But her biggest drawback was, you know, her family's in Illinois, so she was really worried about being able to drive and visit her family.
She's still worried. I was talking to her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny. She's got to go down to the Springs for work tomorrow, which is 100 miles from where we live, for Denver. And she wanted to borrow a gas car. And I'm like, sweetie, your car will have no problem making a 200-mile round trip. Just charge, you
know. Did she believe you?
We'll find out. to be
continued.
I went in and I changed the charging to 100% on the car. So you get 100% battery. And I think, you know, that thing should have, let's say, realistically 250, 270. You know, it says BMW claims over 300, but you know how that is. So we'll see. But I think she should be back here, you know, with at least 25% of the battery, which is plenty. But if you're really worried about range, you know, that getting down below like 50% electric car gets kind of range anxiety-ish.
I mean, but she's owned it for what, a couple months already months? And I think as soon as, like, it was a little difficult for my wife to jump into the i3 initially, right? But she owned it for a few weeks and months, and, you know, she got into the groove, right? She came home, plugged it in. It was always charged at our house. We do have a house with a garage. And she got into the groove, and now she won't. She completely flipped.
All right,
she completely went there.
So in the last 10 minutes, let's go back to trucks, because I know you guys are here for trucks
and not i3s,
not i3s or iXs. Too much electric. I know the comments are going to be like too much, and I apologize, but really is the talk of the town, electric vehicles. Well, let me talk about trucks.
Well, how about this? What about government saying you cannot sell a brand new vehicle that's gas after a certain year? That's where people, I think, are struggling
bullshit.
You think governments are bullshitting?
I think that's bullshit. I think you should let the market decide. I understand.
Well, I agree.
I think it's counterproductive. I think if you want people to adopt electric vehicles, don't cram them down their throats. Let them understand and, you know, figure out whether they work for them. And if they work for them, let them buy them. And my experience has been the electric vehicles, especially around town, are better than internal combustion. That could be different for other people, but let the market decide. Anyway, let's talk trucks.
Okay, trucks. Yeah.
So we have a really exciting truck at the office, and it is the new Toyota Tacoma Trailhunter.
Hybrid.
Hybrid, yes. And I've been driving it around. You've been driving it around. I think we're going to toast it, aren't we?
We have a test, which is a kind of a torture test because we do it in the summer or during hot months, and we call it the toaster, the TFL toaster, because we tow maximum trailers up a very steep and very slow grade.
Yeah. But so that's coming. Hopefully tomorrow you're going
to, yes,
in your time, 3 days ago when you're watching this. But let me ask you this. You know, that's one of the most exciting new trucks of the year. My neighbor, and once again, I'm using my neighbor, actually came by and like was amazed at how good looking that
is. Oh, he noticed it.
Oh, yeah. He's got a Rivian, and he's like, that is a good looking truck. And I agree. I mean, I think Toyota looks wise just nailed it out of the ballpark. So if you don't know what the Trailhunter is, ours is in kind of this dark forest green. It just has all of the off-roady bits.
It has the macho bumpers, yeah. You know. Toe points, right? It has
bronze
bigger
wheels.
Tires. Yeah, bronze wheels. It has a snorkel, a little raised air intake on the passenger side.
And then the one thing that we wanted to do is compare it to the Ranger Raptor. So Tommy and Case took it up Ironclads, but all the way up. But apparently it's gotten really hard up there. And that video, I don't want to spoil it. That video should be at alltfl.com.
Yes.
But you should go check it out because... Tommy said it was, and you know, he's been doing a lot of hardcore off-roading. He said it was one of the hardest trails he's been on. If you're wondering what truck is better off-road, there is a clear winner between the two. So go to alltfl.com. But I don't want to spoil that video, and I usually do spoil stuff, but this time I don't want to spoil it.
Okay.
But let me give you my impressions of it driving around.
Okay.
So first and foremost, I was going to say snorkel, but it's a desert air intake.
Yes. But it's connected directly to the intake, right?
So it sounds like a walrus snoring.
Or breathing.
It does this like...
You know what? I love that sound. But I don't know if I would love it,
gets old.
Every day,
it gets
all
old.
Day.
It gets old. Yeah.
Okay.
After a while, I was like... And I mean, when the window's open, it's like... And when the window closes, it's like... But after a while, I got a little tired of it.
Okay.
And it's the turbo spooling
breathing.
Up. And then it's
blow-off valve, yeah. You know, releasing the pressure if you're not using it.
So I think it's really cool initially, but I've come to the conclusion that if I own that truck with that snorkel, I think I would not want to sit in the passenger seat because it's right next to the passenger seat. So that was one of my... one of my first impressions.
But it's also a hybrid, Roman.
It is
a hybrid. So are you getting insanely great efficiency? No,
it's not built for that. It's built for power, which it has plenty of.
Yeah,
ride comfort is good. It doesn't have, unlike the TRD Pro, it doesn't have those ISO dynamic seats, and so they're much more traditional. And I find myself being very comfortable. And unlike ours, it's got every button possible, which makes me happy. I don't know what they all do, Andre.
Does it have a disconnecting sway bar?
It does
in the front.
Yeah, it does. I don't know what they all do, but just seeing all those buttons makes me really happy.
I also published a video recently on TFL Truck where I was very critical of Toyota's towing technologies.
Yes, and people misunderstood. I knew they would because the first criticism was that you compared it to a truck, fair.
Yes.
But you weren't saying the capability is bad. You were saying that
the interface.
The interface, the way you hook up the trailer, the way you plug in.
The way you interact with the trailer software, basically.
Yeah.
How you configure it, how you control it, trailer brake controller, you must have it when towing.
Let me give you an example. We've had trouble hooking up now 3 Toyotas to our trailer, and the Toyota doesn't recognize the trailer. Well, that's on us because buried deep in the menus is a setting that allows you to choose between electric or hydraulic.
Or no brakes.
So unlike all other brake controllers that I have ever used, once you plug in a trailer, it knows that there's a trailer, and then the brake controller just works. And brake controller is the thing that allows you to actuate the brakes on the rear trailer.
Yeah.
The Toyota, you have to select it either being off, it being surge braking, which a lot of boats have, which you don't really want a brake controller, or on. But it just seems like if you had a surge brake trailer. It wouldn't work. Why would you have to select it? This is surge braking is when you push against the hitch. It surges fluid.
It's actually pushes fluid to the brakes.
And then brakes. Yeah. So exactly. So that wouldn't, even if you plugged it in, that would not like override. It wouldn't work. And why would you ever want it to be off?
But also why would you hide it underneath many menus as well? So that's what I was critical of. And I'm going to take a look at it in the Tacoma Trail Hunter, because it's probably has similar software underneath. So I think Toyota still has a ways to improve, because I think Ford and GM is really leading in how you interact, with towing trailers of various kinds and various sizes. They're kind of leading that space. Ram is also kind of getting there, but Toyota really needs to step up.
So after driving it, for a couple of days and over the weekend, I really enjoyed it. It's a hell of a truck. I think it's got to be one of the sexiest trucks out there right now from the factory. It's kind of got that TRX buzz to it, and deservedly so. But it's kind of got the TRX price too, Andre.
Is it almost 70,000?
It's like 65,6. Yeah. Compared to the Ranger Raptor, it's about 10K more. Which is a lot
to swallow.
For a truck that doesn't have a front locker, which the Ranger Raptor does.
And limited space and limited bed, right?
Yeah, Toyota didn't really put a lot of more space from the last generation, the new one, in the rear seat. And I feel that's kind of a mistake. I think unlike Rivian, most of the manufacturers think, if you want to put the kiddos in the back,
Buy a Tundra.
Yep, exactly.
Exactly.
That's kind of and I'm not sure that's a smart strategy. Maybe they should make it a little bit more space efficient. So, cause especially the TRD Pro with those isodynamic seats, you're not going to put anything but legless people back there.
Or maybe baby seats that are facing forward. Not rear-facing seats for sure.
Yeah.
I have a Lincoln on the board.
Yep.
Lincoln Navigator, because it was recently refreshed and released, world debut. But also, it wasn't a hybrid. That surprised me. Because they have the F-150 hybrid technology. The Lincoln is still not. And Ford did say that they're kind of delaying this, and they will have it soon in this kind of a hybrid SUV, because they canceled that electric.
So it's weird. Like, everybody now, all of a sudden, at least if you read this news stories, wants a hybrid. But hybrids have been around a long time, Andre.
Since the 90s.
I mean, Ford.
Early 90s.
Remember the Fusion hybrid?
Remember the C-Max?
Yeah, I remember the C-Max. And people did not want these things.
Escape was a hybrid?
Hybrid, yeah. I mean, there were a boatload of different hybrids that you could buy. And somehow, I would say turboization took over hybridization somehow. And your F-150 hybrid had both.
Yes.
So we had, twin turbos and hybrid.
Yes.
But now people somehow have woken up to the advantages of hybrids and are like, I want a hybrid. And yet for the last 20 years, hybrids have been out there and they've been kind of a yawner. I don't understand that dynamic either.
And also I think there will be another huge conversation about plug-in hybrids, right? Because there's more and more choices in the plug-in hybrid space. And I'm not so sure that it's the best of both worlds. I think it's the worst of both worlds.
This has been the classic thing journalists have said, because you're carrying around two powertrains.
Yes, and complexity of two powertrains, and the weight of two powertrains, Roman, all the time.
But I think a lot of people say that with plug-in hybrids, most people don't ever plug them in. I'm not sure about that. I've talked to a lot of people with the 4xEs, including our friend Nicole over at Wheel Bearings. Her husband bought a 4xE. They just road tripped it. God bless them, basically from Boston to Milwaukee.
And you can do it easily.
Yeah, of course, you can do it.
Yeah.
I think the problem with plug-in hybrids, especially if you listen to like this CarPro show, is people don't understand. The question that he always gets is, if I get a plug-in hybrid, what happens when I run out of electricity?
You will never run out, because your gasoline engine, first of all, charges the battery.
Right.
And also provides power.
I love this like new EREV. So think of a plug-in hybrid and an EREV as being two bookends of the same shelf. So a plug-in hybrid has a small battery, big engine, whereas a range extender has a big battery, small engine. Mm-hmm. And so with a plug-in hybrid, you can drive around town anywhere from 20 to 40 miles, and then the big engine kicks in. with an EREV, you can drive around town like an electric car, right, with a lot more range, and then the engine kicks in. And then the engine only charges a battery. It never powers the wheels. Kind of like the Volt, except the Volt, under weird circumstances, could also turn the wheels. It was actually really technologically advanced for its day.
So you know what?
And it didn't sell. I mean, it sold, but it, you know. And guys, before we get back to trucks again, if you do want an electric vehicle, if maybe I've convinced you that it might be worth a shot, or at least a comparison, used ones, except for the Leaf, I'd avoid the Leaf. Used ones are a bargain. My wife got her iX. It was 1,100 miles, fully pre-owned certified, $30,000 off.
Off a new price.
Off the new price.
Yeah.
$30,000, yeah.
So,
They're screaming bargains right now, so this might be the time, you know, to jump into the EV world if you want a screaming bargain.
If you want a certified pre-owned one or just barely used.
So what of these trucks are you most excited about? For me, it's a Maverick. I can't wait to get our Maverick.
Yeah, we did order the hybrid all-wheel drive Maverick with a tow pack, so that's good. You know what? I'm really kind of excited about the Ram Charger. The Ram Charger.
I can't. But it's been taking so long. It's like the ID Buzz. Yeah. At some point, you kind of forget about it. Like you're like, oh yeah,
the Ram Charger
and the ID Buzz.
The name is weird because it's Ram Charger. It's you say Ram twice, but anyway, I'm excited about it because it's what I don't know is price. We don't know what it's going to cost. We know some other specs, like 690 miles of range, which is an insanely big number, which basically means you could tow forever because you have a gasoline engine that provides power.
It's going to be the Pentastar, right?
Yeah,
it's going to be the Pentastar. That's going
which
to be
is actually a sizable size. That's a large generator.
Not a small engine. Yeah, it's not like that little Kymco in your i3.
Right. So I am excited about the Ram Charger, but I still want to see it, and I want to know how much it costs. If it's over 80 grand... I don't know if it will make sense.
Well, you want to buy it? Would you buy it for if it's over 80 grand?
No, okay. I would buy it if it's under, and
how about
much.
How about 75? Probably not.
No.
Yeah.
You know, they promised the Ram Charger in all trims, so there could be a work truck Ram Charger. There could be a fancy one. You know, they'll have several trims, Laramie models, etc., and limited and tungsten. But I would look at the work truck. So it would have to be. Under 60, Roman.
Yeah, that's
asking. I don't know. Because if it's over 60, if it's a lot over 60, then I don't know if it makes sense.
Well, just get yourself a new Cummins. That's coming
too. There you
too.
Go. Bam, boom. Done.
Go back to diesel.
Okay.
All right guys. Thank you for taking the time to listen and watch this podcast. As always, head on over. Where, Andre? I'm moving my mic.
OTFL.com, because we have 8 channels and a lot going on every single week. So OTFL.com is a single place. Also TFLstaff.com, where you can find some of the cool shirt designs that, you know, our colleague Gavin has produced. It's all good.
And thanks to our Patreons for your support. You guys are the best. It makes us look bad because you guys are so generous in your support. Anyway, if you want to help support us, go to
Patreon.com/TFLcar.
Yep, and we'll see you next time. Ciao.
Thank you.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.